Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. Coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fawn Miller, delighted that you have taken the time to tune our way. We're going to continue on our message, found in Proverbs chapter 3, principles to please the Lord. Principles to live by that we can please the Lord. So I trust you'll take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3, if possible. And we'll be bringing you a message here in just a few minutes. I trust that God can richly bless your heart and mind as we study the Word of God together. Let's pray. Father, meet the need of each individual listening to this broadcast. And I pray, our Father, that it'll have eternal riches for them. If there are any that are not saved, they might come to know thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Someday life's journey will be o'er, and I shall reach that distant shore. I'll sing while entering heaven's door. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Step by step each day, I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way. If God should let me there review the winding paths of earth I knew, it would be proven clear and true. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Step by step each day, I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way. And hither to my Lord hath led. Each step I tread, and soon in heaven it will be said, Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. Saints and angels, as I lay my burdens down, Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me.
Amen. What a blessed truth that is. He led us all the way. Now, we talked about and concluded with the fact of trusting in the Lord with all thine heart and putting our faith and confidence in Him. We are to live by faith. You know, it's an interesting verse of Scripture I did not pick up on the last broadcast only because of time. But look at verse 8 of chapter 3 of Proverbs. and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. He's talking about the word of God. See, actually the whole way from verse 1 down through verse 8, he is talking about the word of God and what that did, honor the word. But then he talks about the faithfulness that comes as we study the word, and then, or I should say truthfulness, and then he talks about the faith we put in the Lord as we look at trusting in him for every aspect of our day. But then he comes down here to verse 8, and he's saying that the word of God, that it will be the medicine that we need. It is that which will be health to our navel, marrow to our bone. And I'll not go back there, but turn right down Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. What the word of God will do to each one of us as we study it and digest the word of God for our own spiritual well-being. Now, look with me, if we may, at verse 9. Verses 9 and 10, again, many of us have learned from young years, and we have maintained, some semblance of that. But notice what he says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He is saying that the fourth thing that we need to get into our hearts and minds is the principle of giving. Not to hoard things, but to give. He says that we're to honor the Lord with our substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. You know, I'll tell you what, one of the greatest lessons I ever learned in Scripture was after I was saved, I heard about this matter of tithing. I had no idea what it was. I mean, it could have been food as far as I knew. But I heard people talking about it's 10%. So it was a principle. Now, that was an Old Testament principle. But as someone has well said, if 10% was the Old Testament principle, and, of course, if you look at it in all technicality, probably 30% is more likely to be the case. But 10% laid aside for the Lord. I said, well, if that's what God wants, I'll do it. You know, I don't understand it. I don't know what's about it. And I know we've got to live on what we've got, and we don't have that much. And so I was married, two children, and my wife and I agreed we will give a tenth of all that we get in, and we do it before taxes. You know, government gets its share of taxes. Well, we're going to give God his share before taxes. We don't think we need to tax God. And so, therefore, we gave the 10%. And I don't know what it amounted to now. That's years ago, back in 61 when we got saved. And I remember sharing that same principle with my brother, who really wanted to live for the Lord and was struggling, you know, with this matter of tithing and that. And I told him about it. I said, I don't understand it, Bob. But I said, I'll tell you what, God blesses us when we do it. And so I'm just going to keep doing it. Well, he had a real responsibility before him. And he said, you know what, I'm going to try it. Lord, I'm going to depend upon you to take care of this situation. And it was a legitimate thing. It wasn't anything he wastefully had done. It was just that he had an expense that he had to meet. And you know that God gave him extra work for about 2 to 3 years till he could pay off that loan. And, you know, he gave him overtime all that time and met the difference. And, of course, he tithed from all that he got. But God gave him enough to pay his bill. When that bill was paid, overtime ceased. And he just said, you know, you ask him today, and he'd say, I can't do but that. I have to do that. Well, you know, beloved, we need to learn that principle. Now, I don't have time to go back there because I want to try to cover more in scripture here. But if you'll study 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, Paul gives the principles whereby we ought to give. And he says, first of all, there needs to be a willing heart. Before there's a 10%, there needs to be a willing heart. You and I need to look at that not as, oh my, I got to pay God 10%. No, a willing heart saying, Lord, I want to give this to you. And you know what happens when you start honoring the Lord that way? Many times you give over the 10% because you don't have to worry about it. I remember one time I had a real godly man. He was my song leader, soloist, and just a great guy in my church. And he'd go out soul winning with me. And, you know, we just had we had a good relationship. One day we're going out soul winning. He said, Pastor, I wanted to tell you. He said, I quit tithing. And I said, to myself, I don't believe this. How could he have done that? I know this man. I know what he talked about tithing. And then he chuckled and he said, I learned how to give. And boy, what a blessing that was. So that taught me a big lesson, you know. Quit tithing and learn to give. It'll be more than a tithe, by sure. Now notice the fifth thing that he tells here. He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. You know, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and every son he scourgeth betimes. Oh, my friend, how we need to learn that God's chastening isn't for our hurt. It's for our betterment. And sometimes it hurts. You know, I often heard my dad say, it hurts me more than it does you. He wasn't the one getting it on the lower part of the anatomy. I was getting it. When he took that belt off, boy, I mean to tell you, it was the one thing I didn't want to know he was doing. And there's somebody, I tell a lot of people, wish I could find one, a razor strap. Because I said, I was 21 before I realized a razor strap was for sharpening razors. It sure loosened up the lower part of the anatomy. But I don't despise that. It was the best thing that could have happened. I needed that discipline. Well, God sometimes disciplines us, and he may not grab the razor strap off of the hook. You know, but I'll tell you what hurt more than that razor strap is when Dad said, go out there and get me a peach whip. And don't you bring in something that is, you know, that's going to break. He used a peach whip on us. Oh, he used cruel and unusual punishment. No, it was discipline that helped us carve out a life that would eventually honor the Lord. And thank God for a dad that did that. Oh, by the way, you won't like this either. He used to, if I said something bad, a bad word, lava soap does not taste very good. I mean, it doesn't. They put that on my tongue. Oh, how awful, how terrible. No, it taught me one thing. Lava soap didn't clean up my mouth, but it taught me I shouldn't say those things. When I got saved, the moment I got saved, I said, Lord, I can't use that kind of words. I got to have them cleaned out. And God took care of the heart situation. Dad took care of the mouth situation. God took care of the heart situation. What a blessing. What a blessing. And all that stuff I say, I'll tell you what, we do a little bit more of that in our homes. I mean, he did it in love. I knew he didn't hate me. I mean, sometimes there was tears in his eyes when he did it. But he knew I needed it. And boy, I'll tell you, if I ever sassed my mom when he come home from work, you don't want to be there. But I'll tell you what, I certainly respect my dad for that. Let me give you one more thing here before we take a little bit of a break and listen to a good song. So we need to discipline. Notice the sixth thing. This is training. Now, basically, discipline is part of the training. But I have another thing here to look at. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, the gain thereof than fine gold. And he goes on to say, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things that can's desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. And so he shares with us the fact of discipline, disciplining ourselves in that physical sense, and then disciplining ourselves in the work ethic. That's really what's on here, the training of value. How valuable is whatever? How valuable is your job? Now, I realize God can give you jobs, but how many times are we so dissatisfied with the job that we have? God's given us a job that we could make something out of it, and we're disgusted because we don't make the top wages. We're disgusted because it ought to be run this way or that. You know, if you should have run the business, maybe God would have put you there. But, you know, so many times we get dissatisfied for all kind of reasons. So look at the opportunity God gives you. If he's given you a job, you see, you look at it like verses 14 through 17 in particular. And then verse 18 says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. That is the riches, the wisdom. Not riches, not dollar bills. We get the idea riches can only be dollar bills. He is talking about merchandise, the opportunity of work, and not so much possessions, but the opportunity of work and being able to provide. And he says, of course, as you put forth that diligent effort, it gives you length of days. It gives you prosperity. It gives you strength. It gives you wisdom. You see, in verse 19, he said, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. We'll pick up on that in just a few minutes. First, we'll listen to a song.
We must fight from day to day. Will you stand for truth and clearly point the way? There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. He gives strength we need to run the race of life. You are not alone. There is power in God's Son. He has given supplies our every need. So be strong in the name of the Lord your God, trusting in his strength alone. Yes, be strong in the name of the Lord your God, for the victory has been won. Though the battle lines are drawn, we will faithfully press on, for there's power in Son, be strong. When your heart is heavy and you seek release, give your burdens to the one who can give peace. As you live by faith and seek to do what's right, simply follow him and press on with the fight. You are not alone. There is power in God's Son. He has given everything. So have confidence, for there's strength within the one who supplies our every need. So be strong in the name of the Lord your God, trusting in his strength alone. Yes, be strong in the name of the Lord your God, for the victory has been won. Though the battle lines are drawn, we will faithfully press on, for there's power in God's Son.
Amen. Be strong in the Lord. Now, the next thing that we want to look at, number 7 of these principles, is the fact of creation. You know, you and I must get into our minds the fact that God created everything. Genesis 1:1. God created everything. And the point of thought in that, and throughout the scriptures, it's declared that God created. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We understand that Jesus Christ is the Word. In Colossians 1, He spoke this world into existence. And the thing is that if God, and I should say since God, created everything, there is absolutely nothing He cannot do. So as a child of God, I can depend upon the Lord to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. Now, we're not talking about asking frivolously, but we're saying as we go out to serve the Lord, there are many needs that we have under wisdom we need to have. We need to have understanding of people. We need to have, yes, our provision. You know, beloved, to trust in the Lord. Let me share with you something that happened in prayer. In fact, as I'm making this program, it was last night. I just about a half hour before prayer meeting started, I got a phone call. Now, I've got a national pastor with me, and we've been traveling around to different churches and trying to see funds raised to build a servicemen center to the military base. They've asked us to do it, and we're going to try by the grace of God to do it. And God has raised a considerable amount of that money. Also, there was a great need of our pastor for a school bus. And maybe somebody out there listening knows where there's one. We're not talking about the big, large school bus, but about the half bus. Maybe takes 18 people or something like that. They need a shorter one to get back into their villages. And you wouldn't believe the roads they got to go on. But anyway, he needed a school bus. And hoping that the Lord would provide maybe $5,000 or so to get one, and maybe you know one, maybe you could give us one, and we could use that money then to help ship it over with getting some tires and stuff like that for it. But anyway, I got this phone call, and so I decided I'd wait and wouldn't even tell our pastor until we were in the service and we had the praise time of our prayer and praise. And I said, I just got this phone call, and I want the church to know, and I want our pastor to know that somebody has spoken to meet that $5,000 obligation. Nobody had an idea it was going to happen. I didn't. I mean, I knew God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. The point is this, the creator of this world is able to provide every little thing that you and I need. And so we thank the Lord. Now we're going to look for a bus. And like I say, you may know of something. Let us know. We're certainly wanting God's direction, God's will. Now, the next thing that we see here, not only is God the creator, and we need to realize that he is the creator, the sustainer. Colossians 1:16 says that Christ holds that whole creation together, the law of gravity, if you please. Then the eighth thing is, found right here in verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Keep in mind the word of God. He's talking about the provisions here in verses 19 and 20. But now he says, son, keep this in your mind. It is God who will do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Look at Psalms 119 and 11 to get some understanding on this. And then he talks about, and he's talking really about the word of God lodging in his heart. Then in verses 23 and 4, he is going to liken it to really Psalms 119 and 105. You know, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. He said, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely. Thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Then he gives us another thing, that we're not to have fear. Fear of the Lord, yes. Fear of man brings a snare. Look at verse 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. I could give you illustration after illustration. Many of our missionaries who have been faced with all kind of problems, whether it be health. One of our missionaries had the Muslim terrorists come in, fire automatic weapons all around his room. I saw the room. I saw the holes. And then they threatened to kill him if they didn't give all their valuables. And they stole everything that they had of any kind of value. And they said, we'll be back. Now think about that. Knowing what they've done, knowing what they said they will do. Then we have another thing of understanding here in verse 27. Concern for others. In the midst of all that we're doing or want to do for the Lord, we must have a concern for others. We're concerned about our own things, and we ought to be. Our own families. But we need to be concerned for others. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. In other words, we need to have a heart after people. Well, there's another one, number 11. Look at verse 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Live at peace with all men, especially they of the household of faith. You can find a good follow-up to this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, or Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 14. And then finally, strive not with a man without cause. In other words, if there's no real issue, don't go and confront anybody about it. Now, if there is a real issue, there needs to be something settled. And I know people have had all kinds of things, and I've had to do it, where you have to get maybe the political system or the judicial system involved. But don't do it on frivolous things, as the Corinthians were prone to do. You see, the principle is to get along with people so that we might be able to get the gospel to them and to others. If we can be a spiritual help to you, contact us at Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA. God bless you, my friend.